Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
The language of the scientist is factual. The words of the poet, metaphorical. But let's not be so strictly categorical. For rhyme and reason fused can be formidable. Oceanographer John Delaney waxes scientific and poetic at the University of Washington. Reporter Ari Daniel Shapiro has his chapter and verse.
Last year at a workshop for the Ocean Observatories Initiative in Baltimore, John Delaney huddled with Susumu Honjo during an evening reception. Honjo is an oceanographer at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He and Delaney were discussing a haiku written by Matsuo Basho, a 17th century Japanese poet.
But let's go with it, okay?
Allow me.
Okay, there are two things, intonation, which is go up and down very slightly.
This is one of Delaney's favorite haikus.
And also, important thing is there is a pause. If you go without the pause, it doesn't mean too much. If you leave the pause too long, it looks like you are hesitating. And you generally learn it,
pausing,
by doing it.
Okay,
arau miya. Sado ni yokotau ama no kawa.
Arayumiya. Sado ni yokotau ama no kawa.
Good. Perfect.
Oh, excellent. Perfect.
The haiku, it means turbulent the sea, stretching across to Sado Island, the Milky Way.
For us, for many people, that really symbolizes not only the earth, not only the water, not only the dark sky, but it's a whole universe.
Absolutely. And another way of thinking about it, turbulent the sea means the ocean is very disturbed. Big waves breaking on the beach. And yet, referring to the Milky Way stretching across to Sado, it's quite clear that the clouds have passed away. So there's no storm at the moment. And yet the sea has a memory and it's still turbulent. And so in 17 syllables in Japanese, Basho captured the absolute essence of the moment.
For Delaney, the ocean is both a source of intellectual curiosity and emotional possibility. Science speaks to the intellect, he says, whereas poetry speaks to both the intellect and the emotion. Michael Collier is a professor of English and creative writing at the University of Maryland College Park. He's a poet, too, and back in 1991, Delaney invited Collier to join him aboard the Atlantis II on one of his research cruises.
John just had this sense that having a poet on board would bring another kind of element, a different kind of way of looking at the world.
Collier's time aboard inspired him to write two poems later, one called Fathom and League and the other Pax Geologica. He also read his poetry during the cruise, and it was the beginning of a tradition. On every research cruise since, one night has been devoted to poetry. Scientists, students, and crew gather in the library to read aloud their own poetry or the poems of others. It's become one of the best attended and most eagerly anticipated events of every cruise. Naturally, there's also a lot of science happening on board these cruises. For almost two decades, Delaney's been pushing for a new kind of ocean science, a way of being there in the volume of the ocean without actually being there. It involves lighting up the ocean with an extensive network of sensors and semi-autonomous robots that can be reprogrammed from shore via high-speed optical networks.
This Ocean Observatory Initiative will have thousands of sensors distributed through the volume of the ocean that will ever be on guard. I mean, 24/7, 365 for decades. We'll be measuring the ocean from the inside out all the time.
This vision, it received funding from the National Science Foundation in September 2009, and it's only 3 years away from becoming a reality, where these sensors monitor the physics, chemistry, and biology of the ocean and seafloor in many locations across the world.
Humans will be intimately involved and tied to the oceans on a routine, regular basis in ways that we can't even imagine right now. We will have the capacity to detect and track major events like a gigantic storm or an erupting volcano or migrating blue whales or fish stock migration patterns or for that matter, it could easily be big earthquakes and the tsunamis that generate it. The more we know, the more wisely we can use and protect ourselves from the ocean.
This vision, it represents a democratization of science, since these observatories will relay their data about the world's ocean to anyone with an internet connection, to scientists and, for that matter, poets too. On that research cruise almost 20 years ago, poet Michael Collier came to realize the connections between science and poetry.
One of the big connections is just experimenting. Poetry is experimenting with language. Science is experimenting with concepts. And then also, they're both very powerful forms of human inquiry. And they both lead to different kinds of truth.
Delaney shares his love of poetry with other scientists, too. Take Margaret Linen, the associate provost at Florida Atlantic University. She met Delaney on a research cruise back in the early 80s, and they've stayed in touch ever since.
Whenever he is in town, I've often got something new that I have to read to him.
For example,
this is a poem by Ted Kooser, who won the Pulitzer Prize for poetry. This poem is called A Jar of Buttons. This is a core sample from the floor of the Sea of Mending, a cylinder packed with shells that over many years sank through fathoms of shirts, pearl buttons, blue buttons, and settled together beneath waves of perseverance, an ocean upon which generations of women set forth under the sails of gingham curtains and, seated side by side on decks sometimes salted by tears, made small but important repairs.
For John Delaney, the ocean is full of mystery, and ocean observatories are a powerful way of weaving together the scientific and aesthetic threads that make up the fabric of our global ocean, and then streaming it all back to shore for everyone to absorb, read, pore over, and find meaning, whatever their specific focus may be.
It gives us all the opportunity to experiment, to innovate, to develop novel approaches to studying the global ocean, which is really our life support system on the planet. It's nothing more and nothing less. It's the complexity that is going to be the biggest nut for us to crack, and it's not going to yield easily to casual effort. It's going to be a major, major challenge for us to get there.
For Living on Earth, I'm Ari Daniel Shapiro.
Our story about the poetry of the sea comes to us courtesy of Ocean Gazing Podcast. It's produced by the Centers for Ocean Sciences Education Excellence with support from the National Science Foundation. For more information on ocean gazing, take a gander at our website, loe.org. On the next Living on Earth, a nightmare scenario. A severe drought in China sends wheat prices soaring and buyers trying to gobble up the U.S. crop.
Now you can say, well, if they drive up our food prices too much, we'll restrict exports. But China's our banker. They're holding $900 billion of U.S. Treasury securities.
Global food insecurity, a shortage of rain, and a shortage of grain next time on Living on Earth.